Good evening. In February of last year, a man was found unconscious in a Motel 6 motel room. This was in Palm Springs, California. They found him unconscious, the authorities did, in this motel room. And because he was unconscious and he had obvious injuries, nothing too serious, but there were some injuries to him, they took him to the hospital. With him was a bag of like exercise clothes and like four tennis rackets, and also four forms of identification: a passport, a California identification card, a veteran's medical card, and a social security card. All of these documents identified him as Michael Boatwright. And this Michael Boatwright had served in the Navy during the Vietnam War and had come to California virtually penniless, didn't have any money to his name, nothing, and hoping to get work as a tennis instructor. However, when he woke up in the hospital, eventually, it didn't say how many days later, but when he woke up, he only spoke Swedish. Could not speak or understand a word of English. Not at all. He was born in Florida. Like I said, served in the Navy, but could not understand anything of English. Only spoke Swedish, and he said his name was Johan Ek. He didn't recognize anyone in any of the pictures that were also in this bag that was found with him. And when he first looked at himself in the mirror, he cried, because he didn't recognize his own reflection. He didn't recognize the face that was looking back at him. This Michael Boatwright was diagnosed with dissociative amnesia, which is a rare psychiatric condition typically associated with a traumatic event. He said he had no memory of his past. Social workers at the hospital, they tried to trick this Boatwright guy into speaking English, thinking he was faking it was a hoax of some kind. So they tried to kind of trick him into speaking English, but it didn't work. He couldn't speak English. He lived at the hospital for 5 months, though he had no money to pay any of the bills. He said, "Walk in my shoes for one day." This is through a translator. "Walk in my shoes for one day, and you'll experience the nightmare of a lifetime." So over this time, eventually people were able to uncover some of Michael's background. That's why we know that he was a veteran and all that. And eventually his story was hitting several of the news channels and eventually made its way to Sweden, where people there recognized him as an American who did move to Sweden in the 1980s. So that's why he could speak Swedish, because he had lived there off and on since the 80s. They said he had moved. He would live there for a while and come back and move back there, back and forth. And there was even a woman there who, in Sweden, who recognized Boatwright because they had dated a few times in the 1980s. So eventually Boatwright was moved out of the hospital and into a homeless shelter. And then a local mental health department actually purchased him a ticket to go to Sweden, because he was so uncomfortable here. He couldn't speak the language, didn't recognize anything. So they thought maybe if he goes back to Sweden, where he at least could speak the language, he'd be able to be a little more comfortable and things might start to click with him. And he actually, through the help of that woman that he dated, was actually able to get a place there and was able to start working as a tennis coach. But although his ability to speak English never returned, he was surrounded by Swedish speakers, so that made him better. It says that Boatwright compared his life to an empty chalkboard that's just been erased. And he said, "After death, this is probably the worst thing that you could ever go through." Unfortunately, though, his story does have a sad ending. Just last month, I found out. I was reading the story more. Last month, he was found dead in his home in Sweden. Apparent suicide. They believe he killed himself. This man's identity was lost. He had lost everything about who he was, couldn't remember who he was, anything about his life. It was gone. And you can imagine, I mean, he said, it's a nightmare and all that, but not knowing who you are, it messed with him in so many ways, and apparently it got the better of him, unfortunately. But I find this story sad in two ways. One, of course, because he did die by killing himself, apparently, and two, because he'd forgotten who he was. He'd forgotten who he was, and he no longer had an identity that he was familiar with. He didn't even recognize his own reflection. A person's identity can be very important. There's things out there to help with identity theft, to help prevent identity theft. So one's identity is very important. On the radio station that I listen to, it plays more Christian-themed songs and uplifting songs and songs that get you thinking about praising God a little more than maybe some other stations do. And I like those songs. I like that station because it helps me think about God different, maybe not differently, but in a time when I normally wouldn't be. And it gives me ideas. It makes my mind start thinking of things in a different way than I normally would. But there are several songs that play on the station that kind of deal with one's identity and who we are, and it's there's enough of those questions or enough of those songs kind of like this that over the last few months I've been kind of catching a pattern, and I wanted to kind of collect some of those songs and read a few of their lyrics for you tonight and to help us deal with our spiritual identity and who we are as Christians and reminding ourselves who we are so we don't forget who we are and end up a sad story like this Michael Boatwright. The first song I want to read, it's called Who Am I? Who am I? Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? This song is asking about our value. Why would the Lord of all the earth, who is so much greater than us, care to know my name? He is so much greater than us. Why would he look on us with love when he has seen the sin that's in our lives? So who are we? Who am I that can make him want to do this? The song continues. Not because of who I am. So it's not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still, you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. And you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. We are God's. That's who we are. We are God's. Let's read from Psalms 34 and 17. As the song says, Lord, you hear me when I'm calling, you catch me when I'm falling. Psalms 34, 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. Keep your finger there in Psalms, but now I'm going to turn to the end of the Bible in 1 John chapter 5. First John 5, verses 14 through 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So he hears us when we call. And then turn back to Psalms chapter 37. 37:23-24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. He catches us when we fall. So he is, he's hearing us, he's catching us, because he's out, because we're his. There's something of ours that we drop, we try to catch it, because we don't want it to fall on the ground and break. So if we're falling, he's going to catch us, because we are his. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our identity is that we are God's. He owns us. We are his. He has purchased us with the blood of his son. Our value comes from the price that he was willing to pay for us. And even though we may feel worthless sometimes and not of much value, how can he love us? How can he know our name when we're so bad? Even though we feel worthless, even though we may not think much of ourselves, we need to remember our identity, that we're his. He has still bought us. He wants us. I am God. I am God's. But like the story of Michael Boatwright, who forgot who he was, sometimes we can forget. Sometimes we forget that we are God's, that God has done all this for us, that we forget who we are. We're human, and we forget a lot of things. And we have to be reminded many times of certain things, some important things we need to be reminded of over and over and over. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is writing to Timothy to help and telling him to remind people of certain things, because we need to be reminded. 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 through 14. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. So we need to be reminded of these things. Of, again, we need to be reminded of these things that Paul was telling Timothy to remind these people about. So this next song that I have goes along with being reminded. It's called Remind Me Who I Am. When I lose my way and I forget my name, remind me who I am. In the mirror all I see is who I don't want to be. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is. Sounds a lot like the story of Michael Boatwright. He forgot his name, and in the mirror all he saw was what he didn't want to see. From Acts chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Then Barabbas departed for Tarsus to see Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch, so that it was for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Our name, remind me who I am, so I don't forget my name. Our name is a Christian. Our name is Christian, meaning a follower of Christ. And it doesn't seem like we should forget something like that. It doesn't seem like we should forget or need reminding that we're a follower of Christ. But sometimes we can get amnesia. Sometimes we can forget. The song continues, when my heart is like a stone and I'm running far from home, remind me who I am. When I can't receive your love, afraid I'll never be enough, remind me who I am. If I'm your beloved, can you help me believe it? Sometimes our hearts can become like a stone, like that song says. When my heart is like a stone and I'm running far from home. Sometimes our hearts can become hardened, and we can try to tune out the reminding that's coming in our lives, that we're trying to be reminded who we are, but we try to tune them out like a child tuning out his or her parents who tell them the same things over and over and over. The child tunes them out, doesn't even hear them. Sometimes we can be like that. Sometimes when our hearts are hard, we don't want to be reminded who we are. We don't want to be reminded that we're Christians, we're followers of Christ, because we're having too much fun acting like we aren't. But we are. Just because Michael Boatwright called himself Johann Eck, and that's who he believed he was, that didn't change the fact that he was Michael Boatwright. When we forget or choose to forget, we need reminding. The song continues, tell me once again who I am to you. Who am I to you? Tell me, lest I forget, who am I to you, that I belong to you. So again, it's important for us to be reminded and being open to that reminding of who we are. And that God did pay for us, and that we do have a name, the name of Christian. And sometimes we can find ourselves thinking we are less than what we are. Who we are is less than we really are. We depreciate ourselves. Our value is less than in our minds than what it truly is. We think that because we've done such bad things in our past, and because we've sinned so much in our lives, that we're someone less than what we truly are. Next song I'm going to give you the lyrics to. It's titled, You Are More. You Are More. And again, I'm just reading kind of snippets from the lyrics here. This isn't the whole song. But this section goes, but don't you know who you are? What's been done for you? Don't you know who you are? You are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. We aren't who we once were. We're not who we once were. So who are we? I have to read from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness and with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We were an old man. We have this old man. That's who we were. We were once a sinner, but we're still sinners. But we don't have that old man. We're getting rid of that old man. We're being remade into a new man. The song continues. Because this is not about what you've done, us. It's not about what you've done, but what's been done for you. This is not about where you've been, but where your brokenness brings you to. This is not about what you feel, but what he felt to forgive you, and what he felt to make you loved. You are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. We've been remade into a new man. And once we were once that old man, but we're putting off that old man and putting on a new man. We're trying to be remade. But we need someone to form us. We need to be formed by a potter. And Jeremiah chapter 18 talks about a potter. Jeremiah 18, starting in verse 1. And the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. And then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now he's speaking about the children of Israel, but he's speaking to us as well. And we can be remade, no matter what's been done in our past, no matter who we were in our past. As sinners, that's not who we are. No, we are remade. He is forming us. He's getting rid of the mistakes in our lives. And those, hopefully, as we put off the old man, those mistakes are being formed out of us. We're being remade into something better. God does not keep adding up our sins for us from our past. Once we've asked for forgiveness and been forgiven of those sins are gone. It's he's wiped them out of that vessel he's forming. It's up to us whether or not we keep bringing them back. We've talked about God paying a price for us, and we are God's. And so there was a price that God paid for us, the blood of his only son. And with this price, we were made free. We're free from sin. We are redeemed. We are delivered from sin by a payment of a price, the price of Jesus' blood. So we are redeemed because of the blood, because of that price. That's the title of the next song. It's Redeemed. Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna last. Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. All my life I've been called unworthy, named by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head, I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. Because I don't have to be the old man inside of me, because his day is long dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me home. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain, because I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. We were prisoners to sin. We were chained to our sin. We were bound in shackles of our failures and haunted by things in our past. But we are redeemed. Jesus paid the price to set us free, to redeem us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We are redeemed through his blood. We're redeemed in several ways, from several things. We are redeemed from the slavery to sin. I'd like to turn to John chapter 8. John 8, verse 33 through 36. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." You were redeemed from slavery to sin. And as we've been discussing in recent weeks in class, we are redeemed from having to follow the old law. Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So we are redeemed from having to follow the strict laws of that old law and the regulations. We don't have to follow those anymore. We have a freedom. We are redeemed. And we are even redeemed from having to fear death. In Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. When we're sinners, we should fear death. But because we're redeemed and we have the opportunity that he has given us through his sacrifice, we shouldn't fear death. in the same way as we did when we were sinners. So we are redeemed from that fear. So we've been remade. We're putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Again, that doesn't automatically make us perfect. The new man can still make mistakes. We are redeemed. Our freedom from sin was purchased with a price. We're free. We're redeemed. But that doesn't make us sinless. And we are God's. He has claimed us. We are Christians, named so because we follow Christ. But that doesn't mean that we still won't get lost and sin. We are still going to have sin in our lives. But we are forgiven. We are forgiven. The last song I wanted to reference is called Forgiven. Well, the past is playing with my head, and failure knocks me down again. I'm reminded of the wrong that I have said and done, and that devil just won't let me forget. My mistakes are running through my mind, and I'll relive my days in the middle of the night. When I struggle with my pain, wrestle with my pride, sometimes I feel alone and I cry. In this life, I know what I've been, but here in your arms, I know what I am. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven, and I don't have to carry the weight of who I've been, because I'm forgiven. We are redeemed. We've been purchased. Our freedom's been purchased, but we're also forgiven. We have the chance for forgiveness because we have been redeemed. Our sins, our wrongdoings, the times we mess up can all be forgiven and erased. We read this earlier, Ephesians 1 and 7. In him we have redemption through blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Because of his grace, God's grace, we have forgiveness. 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. In teaching that class and studying for the class I did on repentance and forgiveness, the main thing that I took out from it, the main thing I learned was how important love is in forgiveness and repentance. How important love is for forgiveness. Because without love, without the love of God, we don't have forgiveness. We don't have that redemption. We don't have any of this stuff. We aren't who we are without God's love. So we are loved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the world. We are loved. We are God's. Not that we are God's. We are God's. We belong to him. We are Christians. We are not who we once were. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. We are loved. Our identities, our physical identities are very important. Especially our spiritual identity. Our spiritual identity is even more so important than our physical identity. And we need to be reminded, either by ourselves, by others, by the Bible, or by God, who we truly are. Because we are more than what we've been in our past. We're more, you know, we're more because we've been remade. We're not defined by our past. We're not that same person. We've been remade. And we are redeemed from slavery to sin by the blood of Jesus. And because he paid that price, and because of the love of God in Jesus, we are forgiven of our sins. So if you need help this evening with your spiritual identity, if you need help remembering who you are, if you need to be remade, If you need redemption and forgiveness, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing.